Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. As part of Breaking Barriers, Women in Oncology, Cancer Network's Arianna Pelosi spoke with the Journal Oncology's co-editor-in-chief, Dr. Julie Vos of the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and Dr. Avyakta Kalam of City of Hope. Vos and Kalam discussed some of their key research advances in the lymphoma landscape and highlighted how they overcame any gender disparities in the field. Other topics of conversation included the prospect of balancing their personal lives with their professional responsibilities, as well as critical advice for any women looking to advance in their oncology careers.
So, Dr. Vos, can you just discuss what made you interested in focusing in hematologic oncology and specifically that of lymphoma?
Yeah, so I was very lucky. When I was a medical student, I started doing research with Dr. James Armitage and got interested in lymphoma first at a very early age, and then started doing research with, in charts, looking up charts and getting some publications, and then started doing clinical trials and things like that when I was a resident and fellow. And I got into it very early and had great mentorship. So that's I've been very fortunate.
And then what made you specifically want to focus in lymphoma?
Lymphoma was what Dr. Armitage was an expert in. So that's where I got the experience, and also got great connections with him, helping me meet people and to be able to get into clinical trials early and just to be in the know. And it's also interesting because lots of treatments actually work for lymphoma and a lot of our patients are cured, which is always great to see.
And then Dr. Kalam, what made you interested in this research field?
Yes, when I was doing my residency, I was particularly fascinated by hemonc because there were so many developments happening and you would have redefining of new standards of care happening all the time. So it was a very exciting field to learn more about. So that got me more interested in that.
And then Dr. Vos, would you want to highlight any key research advances that you've been a part of throughout your career?
Well, that goes back a long time, but so I was involved pretty early with autologous stem cell transplantation and trying to new therapeutic regimens for that, as well as new cancer therapies against lymphoma. So a lot of monoclonal antibodies, radiolabeled antibodies, more recently CAR T cells and bispecific antibodies. So just lots of different therapies and opportunities for our patients. And there has been tremendous improvement over the years and a lot of research that's been exciting to be involved in.
And then Dr. Kalam, I know you're just starting out in your career, but have you been a part of any research advances so far?
I think during training, I had the opportunity to work with Dr. Vos, Dr. Armitage, and Dr. Lemming when CAR T therapy was just starting out. So I had the privilege to witness the clinical trials and then eventually see CAR T cells being approved and being, a standard of care at this point in time. Right now, some of the research studies that I'm involved in involve bispecific antibodies, particularly in the field of CNS lymphomas. So bispecific antibodies are approved for systemic lymphomas and they're very effective. What we're doing here is trying to see if they would be equally efficacious in the central nervous system.
Great. And then Dr. Vos might go hand in hand with your previous answer, but how have you seen the field evolve from a research standpoint since the beginning of your career?
Yeah, so very early on, when I started way back when, we didn't have growth factors, we didn't have a lot of the supportive care measures that we have today. So patients, for example, were in the hospital for 6-8 weeks sometimes for their stem cell transplant, whereas now they can be done outpatient sometimes, and they can be very short as far as like a 2-3 week hospitalization and others. So that's really changed a lot, as well as just all the different options for patients and trying to not only improve their outcome, but also to decrease the side effects of the treatments that we give. And then different combinations that we use together to improve the response rates and cure rates for lymphoma.
And then Dr. Kalam, looking towards the future, how would you like to see the lymphoma field evolve?
One thing that I would like to see the field evolve into, and it's on its way to doing so, is personalized therapies. So if there is a way we could tailor make the therapies for a patient based on the pathology of the tumor, based on the genomics, and also based on patient's preferences, I think that would be the ideal treatment going forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of different interviews that I've done for Breaking Barriers, they've said personalized treatment has been their number one thing moving forward. So it's nice to see it across all different fields as well. So maybe Dr. Callum, as you were beginning your career, did you have any difficulty breaking into the field at all?
I think for me personally, I have a unique experience of having trained in a different country and then moving to the US for my further training. So I think initially the biggest challenge I faced was just trying to understand a new way of clinical practice, just different culture, different way of approaching treatments. So that initially I felt was a barrier to me. So unfortunately, I had great mentors. I had great people that I could talk to who could help me through that.
Great to hear. And then Dr. Vose, did you have any difficulty when you were first starting out?
Well, this was, of course, was a long time ago, so things were different back then, and there were far fewer women in medicine in general and women in oncology as well at that time. So I was sort of a rarity, and it was good to have, I had some mentors that were, you know, helpful and older at that point that were women, but mostly men. So that's changed a huge amount over the time, and I think that we did have to do everything, you know, work twice as hard and do everything twice, you know, two times or three times better than anybody else to prove that we could do what we, that we were equal even. And I think that we've come a long way since then, and things are much more equitable now. And thankfully, due to a lot of my predecessors, that wasn't able to be done.
Would you be willing to expand upon any of the significant disparities between men and women that you've experienced?
You know, you just have to, you have to get your name out there. You have to work twice as hard. You have to make yourself, known and seen and published and present, and, just work really hard to be able to get to, where you should be academically. I think it's much more equal now than it has been in the past, but there's still some inequalities out there.
And then going off of that, as you just mentioned, do you still experience those disparities in your day to day, and kind of how do you overcome that if you do?
I think much less than previously as far as a day to day type of experience. But out there in the real world, there's still a lot of people who don't necessarily see women as physicians. I still get called a nurse sometimes by patients. And so, you know, it's still out there. We just have to continue to make our presence known and make sure everybody sees us in an equal light.
And then Dr. Callum, do you still experience that in your day to day at all?
I think fortunately it's getting better. Thanks to, you know, having women having gone through this and being in leadership positions. So things are not as bad right now, I feel, compared to where things have been. But I do certainly notice that. I notice that at times, you know, when you walk into a patient's room with your team, the gaze automatically shifts to the male person in the team. And it's more often than not that you're having to assert yourself to be kind of noticed and recognized that you're the physician and you're the person that's leading the team. So that does happen sometimes.
Yeah. I might just add that sometimes you do have to do that. You have to be a little more assertive and a little louder, and you have to, you know, step up to the front. And sometimes that makes women appear more aggressive or, you know, in a bad way, but that's not really being aggressive in a bad way. It's just trying to make sure that you're seen as an equivalent in the physician in charge, for example.
Do you find that hard to do with either of your personalities? I know for myself, I'm more introverted, so having to step up is difficult for me, but I'm not sure if you've experienced that.
Well, I used to be very introverted, honestly, and over the years, I've had to grow out of that because you just have to assert yourself or you're not going to be able to get to whatever level you want to. And Dr. Collins a little quiet, so she needs to assert herself too.
Absolutely. I think probably one of the biggest challenges I'm facing as junior faculty. And I have discussed this with Dr. Bose before, and she's like mentored me and she's helped me become a little bit more assertive. I still have a long way to go. I think just in terms of building confidence and in yourself to be able to speak up.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes with practice as well as you get more used to it, unfortunately. So this is always a fun question, I guess, just from my perspective, is how do you try and achieve work-life balance throughout your day today? Dr. Gomes, do you want to try and tackle that one?
Sure. I do try to block out time to do personal things. I take my vacation time. I, you know, do things that you need to do to make sure you're a whole person. I also try to work out, go to the gym, run, do Pilates, do stuff like that to make sure your mind and spirit are in good shape. So I think you have to take time for yourself.
Dr. Callum, is there anything that you specifically do to try and balance work life?
Trying to find a balance is still something that I'm struggling with. I feel like there are a few days or weeks where like the pendulum swings more towards work, and then there are times where the pendulum swings more towards life and personal situations. So I'm still struggling in terms of trying to find balance, but what I've noticed being helpful is just surrounding yourself with a good support system, like friends and family, or even good work colleagues. So for instances where you might have like a personal event or something happen that you're not able to be at work, then you have a good group at work who understand and cover for you and help you through that process.
That's great. Yeah, definitely taking time for yourself. Try and get your mental health to be okay for everybody else around you as well. So obviously, Dr. Callum, Dr. Bose was your mentor. Can you kind of discuss how that maybe impacted your career trajectory?
I think one of the prime reasons like I decided to do lymphoma was because the place that I was doing my fellowship in, I had the honor of working with Dr. Bose. So it was very inspiring, you know, seeing a woman in charge do so well, be so successful in lymphoma. So it kind of makes you feel like this is something that's achievable or this is something that's doable. So having somebody like that was very inspiring. And also once I started working and started having her as my mentor, just I think little things, little tips and guidance, even not necessarily research related, but just in terms of like day-to-day being, like being more assertive, trying to make yourself heard, that, you know, advices like that have been very valuable. And also in terms of enabling you to grow. If there were certain grants or if there were certain applications that I wanted to be a part of, is giving me those opportunities and kind of pushing me along the way. So I'm very, very grateful to have a mentor like that so early in my career.
That's great to hear. And then Dr. Bose, did you have a mentor that significantly impacted your career as well?
Just Dr. Armitage that I spoke about earlier. So he did the same thing for me. He helped me get involved in things very early and guided me along the way, and was very helpful in where I am today.
And then could both of you just kind of touch upon how mentorship can impact one's career?
Well, I would say it's key, actually, especially early in your career, to have a good mentor to show you the ways, show you the good things and bad things, and, you know, the road, kind of the roadmap. You have to go down the road yourself, but somebody can show you the road and give you tips along the way and maybe tell you when a detour is a good thing and maybe when it's not a good thing. So everybody has to make their own way, but it's really good to have somebody to give you a roadmap, give you some tips how to get there.
And then Dr. Callum, how do you think mentorship can impact somebody's career?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Dr. Lowe said. I feel like as junior faculty, when you're just starting out, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of enthusiasm, there's a lot of wanting to do a lot of things. But sometimes, you know, without proper direction and guidance, that energy can get wasted or misplaced. Just having somebody who's been through the same path that you have been and who can help guide things along, I think it's invaluable.
And then what advice would you give to a woman that wanted to start out in the lymphoma field?
I would say it's exciting. It's an exciting field to be in. It can be challenging. And then there are times where you sort of second guess yourself and you could doubt yourself. But I think it's important to keep in mind the big picture, the reason why we're doing this. Not a lot of people have the privilege to take care of people at their most vulnerable state like we do. So we're just keeping that in mind and moving along and just having mentorship and guidance along the way, I think, is the key.
Dr. Rose, would you have any advice to give?
I think just listen to all of your fellow physicians and as well as mentors, and take advice. Maybe not, you can't take all the advice because sometimes it doesn't apply to you or it's not appropriate. But I think you do need to listen and to look around and do your own research and to be able to interact with people in a positive fashion, because that's really how you get to where you can be independent by yourself.
And then Dr. Bose, have you received any advice that you've held on to throughout your career? Or alternatively, maybe you've received a negative piece of advice that you've kind of not changed how you wanted to be, but kind of helped you see clarity?
Oh, I think the biggest piece of advice is just to see the patient as a person, not just as a patient, and to be able to get to know them and get to know their families and understand, you know, some of their struggles and some of their, you know, good things, so that you can really relate to them as a person, I think has really been beneficial during my time.
I just had an interview yesterday who, that was one of his main pieces of advice, was to kind of see the patient as a person as well. And it impacted his career. And then Dr. Cal, have you received any advice at all?
I would say, because Dr. Volsma was my mentor and I also had the privilege of working with Dr. Armitage, I've received similar advice. I think it's important to keep in mind to look at a patient as a person, as an individual, and not just treat them as just another patient, essentially.
The pieces of advice. And then is there anything else that either of you would like to highlight today?
I think one piece of advice that I'd also received from Dr. Armitage was that he said life is too unpredictable to not to do things that you enjoy doing. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind, is that, you know, what we're doing is important for impacting lives. We're doing a lot of research, but at the same time, to keep in mind to have fun along the way.
And Dr. Bose, is there anything else you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, I think also in a similar fashion, it's, you know, what we do is important and we do impact a lot of lives, but at the end of the day, we also have to have a good life. And so it's important to, you know, interact with your family and take time, take vacation, take personal time, you know, go to the gym, run, whatever helps you to make sure that you're clear and able to help all the patients, I think is really important.
All right, great. Well, those are all of my questions. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Okay.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.